I want to especially consider 1 Corinthians chapter 15, so if you can turn there, but keeping in mind what we read there from Thessalonians. Last Saturday, I happened to be in a cemetery in Ballyhalbert, and a cemetery that I didn't know existed. And I must have driven down that road many, many times. Just along the seafront there, there's a row of houses, and then there's a break, and there's a wee war memorial and a wall, and then the houses begin again and they go right along that road. I never knew that behind that wall is a cemetery. And in that cemetery there is an old ruin of what was a parish church built, would you believe, in 1720. So it's pretty old. But I was there because a dear brother in Christ who ran the meetings in the People's Hall, Portavogie, for a number of years was called home by the Lord. And he's buried there in the corner of that wee cemetery. And you know, it's not the first time that in a cemetery someone has said to me, either before the burial or after the burial, wouldn't it be amazing to be standing here at the resurrection and see what would happen? That has been said to me a number of times. And what would we see? And what will happen? Isn't it marvelous that God has something to say even about that? You know, it's all here. The sufficiency of the Word of God. And God deals with all necessary subjects and those things that we as believers need to know and would be better off if we know them. I was struck in reading this passage, you know, don't you, that there were no chapters in the original. This is all one letter, first letter to the Corinthians. But when you come to the end of this great chapter on this great event, immediately Paul says, look at chapter 16, verse 1. Now concerning the collection for the saints, verse 2, upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God hath prospered him. And I was struck by that. Here's the apostle dealing with this tremendous happening yet future. The coming of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. And immediately he starts talking about the collection for the saints. You see, it's all important. Some things are vastly more important, but everything is important, and therefore it is in the Word of God. The apostle, he is answering objections, as I said, verse number 35. He says, but some man will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? I would be pretty sure, maybe not 100%, but up in the 90s, that everybody here has wondered that. We think about the body being laid into the grave. We think about the words, earth to earth, dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We think about the decomposition of the body. We think of how it breaks down. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And have you not thought, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come. And a startling thing, Paul says to anyone who would say this, thou fool. That's startling. Thou fool. Of course, the people who are asking the question here are Gnostics, they are Sadducees, they deny the resurrection of the dead. But Paul says, thou fool. Not only is the person who denies the existence of God a fool, the fool has said in his heart there is no God, but that person is a fool who denies the resurrection of the dead. It is such a cardinal and fundamental truth. And put simply, and the apostle, of course, he puts it simply when he tells us that because Jesus died and rose again. That's the point. Because the Lord Jesus died and rose again, we shall live also. Before we get into this, it is striking to notice that Paul doesn't go anywhere near the resurrection of the unconverted. Doesn't mention that or refer to it here. It is referred in other places, but not here. Because Paul is encouraging the church. He is encouraging the believers. And you remember what he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 when he's speaking on the same great subject. He says in verse 18, wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul is teaching, he's writing on this subject to comfort the believers. But then if you look at the end of 1 Corinthians 16, he says, therefore, because of all of this, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Christ rose from the dead. The believers will rise from the dead. Therefore, their labor is not in vain in the Lord. So these are great doctrinal truths, but there's great application, practical exhortation to be found. I want to consider just this morning how Paul answers this objection. Some man might say, or will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? And I want to just look at this under three simple headings. We're going to look at Paul's reasoning. We're going to look at Paul's revelation, because he tells them something nobody knew. And Paul's response. So those are the three headings we want to, as it were, hang our message upon this morning. First of all, consider Paul's reasoning. And Paul reasons really in two fundamental ways. He reasons from the natural world. He reasons from creation. And that's why, did you notice in the reading, he's talking about the sowing of a seed. Something that's happening all over the place. Well, if they can get the water out of the fields, hopefully it'll happen. And of course, gardeners, aren't we in the time for the sowing of some seeds? Maybe some here have already done that. And we know about sowing seeds, and the apostle refers to that. Look at the verse. In verse 36, he answers, thou fool, that which thou sowest is not quickened, except it die. Think about that. This great subject of the resurrection of the dead, that body that is laying in the grave. Paul says, you're a fool if you deny that, because do you not know that which thou sowest is not quickened except it die. We put a seed into the ground. And we have that process of germination. And the seed breaks forth and the little shoot comes up through the earth. And that's happening millions and millions and millions of times. And Paul reasons from creation. Going right back to the book of Genesis, there is a seed, and each seed buried in the ground, up will come the grain, whether it be wheat, verse 37, or some other grain, as God pleases. You see, if, for instance, if somebody gave you a wee bag of seeds, but they were just in a paper bag and there was no writing on them and you didn't know what they were, I do remember actually sending away for what I thought were snowdrops. Snowdrops sent over to England for them before the Northern Ireland Protocol. I sent to England for them, and they came, this wee packet of seeds, and I put them in the pot, and I waited, and up they came, and I waited for my snowdrops, and you know what appeared? Bluebells. They have a policy, if they don't actually have what you ask for, they'll send something else, but they didn't tell me. So I had bluebells instead of snowdrops. But if you were in that situation where you just have seeds, you haven't a clue what they are, and you put them in the ground, and maybe it's a mixture, well, up will come whatever God pleases. Each seed after its kind. And Paul is reasoning. And he's reasoning to this man who would say, how are the dead raised up? And Paul says, you're a fool. Because the seed is buried. And except it's buried, it's not quickened. Look at verse 37. That which thou sowest not that body that shall be, but bare grain. Verse 38. But God giveth it a body as it hath pleased him, to every seed his own body. He then goes on to describe, look at it in verses 39, the different kinds of body, the different kinds of flesh, as he puts it. In verse 39, there's one kind of flesh of men, another of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. He then talks about the celestial bodies, the bodies in the heavens and the terrestrial on earth. And there's one glory of one and another glory of another. Of course, years ago, when they looked up and they saw the light, the little pin of light in the night sky, and maybe looking up, you know, everything looked like everything else, except those, of course, close to us, the sun and the moon, but away further out. But now we know all these planets differ, all these stars. And so he's reasoning from nature, the natural world, from creation. And he says, you're a fool if you don't believe that God can raise up the dead. Because hasn't God already done this in creation? Right from the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2. He comes down to verse 42, therefore, and he says, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. Oh, how the body of the dear saint of God, yours and mine, if the Lord tarries, will go into the earth. And it'll go in and it'll corrupt. And there's dishonor there, and there's weakness there, and it's the natural body. But at the coming of the Lord, the body of the saints, they will be raised in incorruption. They will be raised to honor. They will be raised in power. And they will be raised a spiritual body. You know, today, what animates your body is the blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And that blood goes right from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. And if it doesn't, you're in trouble. And it carries all the nutrients and the oxygen, what your body needs. But do you see, when the Lord comes, the animating force in your body will be spirit. And your body will be raised a spiritual body. It will be material, but it will be the spirit that animates your body. Do you see Paul reasoning here? He reasons from nature. I think that's wonderful. This little happening that happens millions of times a year across the earth, people sow. It dies. And then it raises. It's raised up through the soil. Paul says, so is the resurrection of the dead. If God can do that, if God could call all of creation into being by the word of his mouth, by his great power, God will raise the dead at his coming. Listen, the dead will be seen again. And we're especially thinking of the saved dead, the believers who die in the Lord. So you can see Paul's reasoning, and you can follow that through on your own and read these wonderful passages in God's word. But notice, secondly, Paul's revelation. Because he says there in chapter number 51. Well, before we go to that, I meant to say, he not only reasons from nature, but he reasons from necessity. There is a necessity for the resurrection. Why is that? Well, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, verse 50. As we bore the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. There has to be that change. Our bodies certainly are fit for purpose here, but this body is not fit for purpose there. God will give us a new body. God will give you a new body. If you're sitting here today with aches and pains, and who isn't? Well, there's a new body coming. Like unto his glorious body, the resurrection body. But notice, secondly, quickly, Paul's revelation. He tells in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. Now, a mystery in the Bible is something that man cannot know except God reveals it. And so here's a revelation from God through the Apostle Paul. What is this thing? We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. You know, when you die, I'm talking now to the believers, when you die, your body sleeps. When the Lord Jesus died, he died. And his dying, his death, swallowed up our death. For the believer, it's to fall asleep in Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? So Paul is telling them, look, we shall not all die, but we shall all be changed. This is the revelation. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. And of course we have it again in 1 Thessalonians 4. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The great revelation is this: whether you're dead at the Lord's coming, and we think of all the saints in the past, maybe you've walked away from their grave wondering. Well, be assured from Scripture. Be assured from God's holy, infallible word. You will see them again. You see, up from the grave he arose, and so will we. This is the revelation that Paul is giving to the church. You know, let's answer the question. If you were standing, say, in the Villa Cemetery at the Lord's coming, what would you see? And I have to say, and I wouldn't be dogmatic in this, but from my reading of this passage, you mightn't see very much, and I'll tell you why. Notice the words, verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. God's going to do something quickly. You know, a lot of people, and I do not know why, beats me, but there's a lot of people love these zombie movies. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where the dead come out of the graves and you see a hand coming up and they're pushing the dirt off them. Let me tell you, do you see, when the Lord comes, you will not have to fight your way through 6 feet of soil. Because what's the Lord going to do? He's going to open the graves. He's going to resurrect the body. He's going to change the body into an incorruptible body, a body fit for the kingdom of God and for the life we will then live for all eternity. But he's going to do it in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 6 days the Lord created the heavens and the earth. In a moment, he's going to raise the dead. And he's going to bring them forth. And when that happens, it says in verse 54, so when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. And the last enemy shall be destroyed. The king of terrors and the terror of kings. Aren't you glad this morning you're a believer? And aren't you glad this morning this is in the Bible? And isn't it a wonderful thought that because our blessed Savior died and was buried and rose again, that we can enter into the grave and enter into the tomb confident. We only sleep. You know, when you think about this great doctrine of the Lord's return, there are books and books and books have been written on it from all different angles. But what Paul is teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and what Paul is teaching in 1 Thessalonians and the chapter 4 is this, and this is the thing, get this, if you get nothing else, get this. The Lord Jesus is coming back for you, believer. When you die and I die, and we're saved and we're under the blood, our soul, immediately, we don't go along a tunnel. Immediately we're with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we're with Christ in glory. Oh, but part of us left behind. Part of us is left behind. It's in the grave. And that part was redeemed by the blood of Christ. He's coming back for it. He's coming back for it. Believer, he's coming back for it. He's coming back for you. Not a hoof will be left behind. People have written and preached on all the various changes that they can think of in the resurrected and glorified body. I think the late Pastor Willie Mullen, he came up with about 50-something different changes. So if you've got another hour or two, well, that's something we can study and consider ourselves. But this is the thing. He's coming back for you. Coming back for your body. So that spirit, soul, and body, forever with the Lord, we shall be. Notice as we close Paul's response. What is his response to this? Well, he points us, as always, to Christ. Look at verse 57. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore. Now this ought to be our response. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Because of this, because of what he's teaching, you can go on with God. And go on with God, that's what he's saying. And work in the light of eternity and what the Lord will do at his coming, when he comes again in great power and great glory. And of course, as I said, the response of the believers ought to be concerning 1 Thessalonians 4 is, we take great comfort. We take great comfort from this. I'll be honest, and I suppose this is true of all of us, the thought of lying in a grave is not pleasant. I was at a funeral last year in Clondeboy, and it was a cousin of mine, and when they were lowering the coffin into the grave, and this is no word of a lie, I thought there was no bottom to it. It kept going down, and it kept going down, and I don't know, they must bury you six over there. And I remember my brother, who's not saved, he couldn't believe this, and he went over. And he looked down into it and he says, that's one place I'm not going. He wants to be cremated. It's not pleasant. And we bury our dead out of sight. But oh, this great truth is only for a season. Maybe it's coming soon. This whole world, the way it's in state it's in at the minute. Jesus is coming. But he's coming. Christian, he's coming to collect your body. He redeemed it by precious blood. It's asleep in the grave. You know, you could say in a sense, he's coming back with you, your soul, and he'll raise the body and they'll be joined together again. And as I said, forever with the Lord, we shall be. So when someone says, how are the dead raised up and with what body do they come? Notice the foolishness of that. Paul's reasoning. The revelation of Paul. Whether we're dead or alive. People were very concerned about their loved ones who had died. Especially in Thessalonians. But Paul tells them, look, they're okay, and not only are they okay, but the living at the Lord's return won't even prevent them which are asleep. They will have first priority. they will be raised first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. As someone said, we're going to lose gravitation. God's going to alter the whole laws of nature. So we're not waiting for the undertaker. We're waiting for the uptaker. May God bless these thoughts today to your heart and mine. And may we be encouraged, dear believer. And you know, maybe you're here today, and if I might say this kindly, you're getting on in years. Maybe you think about these things. Well, it's okay. Christian, it is okay. The Lord has it all seen to. He's coming for your body. May God bless His truth to our hearts. We'll close with the hymn.